Why don't we pray, read our Bibles. God, come to you, and we are so grateful for your love and kindness. Thank you for the rain and for the sun, for everything you give us. You make the earth new again, make things sprout. And now, God, as we read your word, we know that as we read, you renew our minds. You help us know and love you more. So as we read your word this morning, we pray that you would do that in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I want to share something that I know it is, admittedly, from the beginning, very simple, something very elemental. Nothing that we will look at today will have you going, I didn't know that before I came in. But it's something that God has been working on me personally in my life in it to help me see in a new way. Something that a lot of the verses we're going to read today, many of them, I learned memory verses when I was a child. So it's not new, but lately I've been appreciating this in a whole brand new way, and it's been very helpful for me. So I wanted to share together because a lot of this comes from the Psalms, and it was a very appropriate time and place to do this. So it all starts with this. We have, as we go through life, I don't know the details of most of your lives or any of your lives, but I know this. We have a lot that we have to do in general, in life, as we go through life. There's just some big, broad examples, and then you fill in with your stuff. We all have to do whatever the hard work is that God has given us to do, the stuff we have to do every day to his glory. We have to get it done, and we have to get it done to his glory, or else, you know, we can't eat and live indoors. We have to, if we're God's children, we're tasked with proclaiming the gospel to everyone and all the different ways that works and is supposed to work into our lives and the things we're supposed to do that. And we're supposed to behave, act like Jesus. We're supposed to imitate Jesus. And if you say, well, that's not a task to check off on a list, it's not, because it's a lifelong thing, but it's something to do. Making my emotions and my words and my thoughts and my actions be like, my desires be like Jesus, that's a lot to do. It's, okay, so we have all this stuff that we have to do. And because we have to do it, we feel, this is going to sound repetitive, we feel like we have to do it with our strength, with our power. We have to get it done. We have to depend on ourselves to do the things that we have to do, but we have limitations, right? There's so much we can't do. There's so much we don't know. And frequently we feel like we have to do what we have to do, and we can't do it. With that feeling of, I should. Don't think I'm going to be able to. I can't. I'm trying really hard. Can't do it. If you ever felt like that? Of course you have, right? What are some of your examples that you could think of in your mind? It's like, oh yeah, I feel like that in this moment, when I'm doing this with these people, when this thing comes up in me, whatever the thing is, the moments when you feel that I can't. I wish I could. Hope I could. Going to try to. Not going to work out. Those moments, I find myself feeling quite stressed and frustrated. Maybe you do too. I'm stressed because I know so much depends on me, and I know my limitations. I know what I'm capable of. And frustrated because I can't do the stuff that I know I should do, that I want to do. And in the middle of that, a big idea, and again, not earth-shattering, but it is. God gives his strength to his children. God gives power to his children. God gives his strength, his power, and all the forms that takes, whether it's strength or focus or discipline, perseverance, encouragement, mental, being there mentally, energy, the ability to do and to think and to achieve. God gives his strength to his children, to those who walk closely with him, to those who depend on him. We can't do everything that we want to do, but if we depend on him, this is what we'll see in the text today. There are many. If we depend on him, we can do everything that he wants us and would have us do in our lives. So today, here's what I want to, that's a sermon. That's it. That's the message. What I want us to do for the rest of our time is to read some texts, just to marinate in some texts that emphasize this point that God gives his power, his strength to his children, because as good, as happy as that idea sounds on a Sunday in church, when I go out into to tomorrow, it's hard for me to truly believe that God gives me his strength to remember and to believe that in my daily moments, because they don't seem like spectacular moments where I need, you know, God's strength. I don't have enough myself, but not, this isn't a God intervention moment. When I'm battling my own character, or when I'm overwhelmed with my work, tomorrow that doesn't seem like a God moment where he would give me his strength. I think marinating in these texts together today will help us affirm this reality that God does give his strength to his children when we need it, which is all the time. And this will help as we read today. My hope is that this will increase our faith and that will help us depend on the strength that God gives us in our daily life. Go to Psalm 138. And we're going to be jumping around quite a bit. I tried to edit it, but there's a lot. They're good. So Psalm 138, verse 1, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love, for your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. So he's giving God thanks. And look at this phrase. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul, you increased. Isn't that a neat turn of phrase? He's thanking God. He's praising God. Why? Because you gave me power. You gave me strength. God gives power to his children. Verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. So you give strength to my soul. And then he launches into this little section of God looking at those who are humble and staying away from those who are haughty. What does he mean? What is that? Well, it's because God gives his power, his strength to those who are humble, to those who humble themselves and know that we need his help. I can't on my own. I depend on him. It's the opposite of I can do it. I'm okay. I need your help. And those who look to the Lord, look at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. God gives power to his people, to his children. He works his work. He does his will in them and through them. Jump back to Psalm 20. Look at verse 6. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. So that's powerful help from God. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Those who trust in other stuff, collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. He trusts in the power of God. He trusts that God will help him because he's experienced it, because God has helped him, and he knows that he will in the future as well. And we look around us, and just like David, everyone around us trusts in what they have and what they're able to do, in their possessions, in the power of their might, of what they're able to do. I can do it. I got it. God's children trust in their father because God gives his strength to his children. Look at Psalm 127. Says the same thing, but in a different way. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So this is saying, what are we seeing in the text today? It's God gives his strength to his children. This is saying that just in a very different way. What is he saying? He's saying, you work, but unless God does it, it's in vain. Doesn't matter. Your toil is in vain. Your hard work, your staying up late, burning the midnight oil, the watchman should stay awake. But unless God is the one watching over the city, the watchman's work doesn't matter because it ultimately won't do what he wants it to do. God giving his strength to his children is the only thing that matters. What really gives value, what really does anything of value in us and through us is God working through us. It is worth working hard, but only if God gives us his strength and he brings to fruition our work. Look at the context of this. He's not talking about huge, what we would say, spiritual things. He's talking about God doing the work through his children, bringing to fruition his children's labors in very daily kind of things. Watchmen watching over the city. Now go to Psalm 18. Verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. See, this will be the theme of this whole song, a psalm, what we're saying today. God's strength, my strength, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The stairs of death confronted me. So he starts where he's going to end at the end of the psalm, which after what everything he goes through, which the punchline is, God is my strength. My strength comes from the Lord. And then he says, I was in trouble. There were problems I could not overcome, things I couldn't do. I needed help. Look at verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He called to God. He asked for God. That's humility. It's not, I've got this. It's God, I don't got this. Now, I know not proper English. Verse 7. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. The all-powerful God who can move heaven and earth. His strength doesn't know any limits like ours does. He responded to the petition of his son. He moved his power on behalf of David. Look at verse 16. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my mighty enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God gave him his strength. He worked in his behalf. What David couldn't do by himself, couldn't do it all, God did. And so then he thanks God. Now jump down all the way to verse 46. The rest of it's good. Read it this afternoon. Read it this week in a family devotion. We're going to jump to 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. And exalted be the God of my salvation. The Lord who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who rescued me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. God is his rock because God gives his strength to his children. Now flip over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Starting in verse 1, he says, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So tone of it is, thank God. Why? Why should we thank God? Look at some of the things he says. Jump into verse 5. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Jump to verse 13. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. God gave him his strength. That's why he worships him, and that's why he depends on God. He is his rock because God gives his strength to his children. Go back, Psalm 28. I could have put them in order, couldn't I have? Note to self. Psalm 28, look at verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. God gives his strength to his children. Now Psalm 27, back one. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. God guides and rescues him, gives him his strength. And then he says, God is the stronghold of my life. God is his strength. Not gives me a little bit to help me over the last little bit, but God is my strength. Now, we're going to jump out of the Psalms. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So, context of this, because this is going to appear very out of context. The context is they're rebuilding the temple. It had been destroyed. They're rebuilding the temple. God's children are rebuilding the temple. And the work had stopped. And then God comes and reminds them that he is the one who gives strength to his children as they do what he asks them to do. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And then go to Isaiah 64, verse 4. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by ear, no eye has seen a God besides you. So he's saying, haven't seen this ever. This is something that is different. It's not been replicated. This is unique. What is the thing that's unique? A God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. God works his favor on behalf of his children, of those who trust in him, those who depend on him, for those who know that they need him. One more from Isaiah, and we'll end here. And if you're thinking of other verses that, oh yeah, yeah, this other place says that, this other place says the same thing, this other place says the same thing, welcome to the club. It's all over the Bible because God shows his strength on behalf of his children who depend and trust in him and know they need him. But the last one for today, Isaiah 40. We read this, I think, last week or the week before. We read the first part. I don't think we read the last part. So we read the first part, which is, if you remember, if not, just a short little summary. There's this incredible explanation in Isaiah 40 of who God is and of his power and of how he measured out, he created everything and he did it by just like the, you know, measuring out with his hands the span of the heavens, saying it's going to be this big and taking the water, dividing the waters for all the seas and the rivers and the lakes in his hands, all the waters just in his hand. He made with the work of his fingers, he made all of the earth. It's exalting the might and the greatness of God and how small we are in comparison to God. So that's the first part. And then look at how it ends. Because after this incredible explanation of God, of how he created us, of how we are infinitely small compared to him, look at what it says in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my right is disregarded by my God? So he's saying, what I hear there is he's saying the logical conclusion might be, if God is so great and if we are so small, I'm not sure he can see me. I'm sure we're just scurrying around like little ants on the, you know, like little grasshoppers, some of the metaphors that were used for us compared to God, just scurrying around and he doesn't. In the same way, when I'm walking around, I'm not taking into account the personal daily lives and needs of each little ant or each little insect that I see on the ground. So God's not looking at me. He's not helping me, little me. But that's not the way it is. Look at how he ends. Look at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, to depend on the Lord, they wait for the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The great God and creator and king of the universe sees us. He knows us, and he gives us his power, and he gives us his strength. What we are not able to do with our own, by our own strength, God gives us the strength to do without a doubt. I read all that and I close my Bible and I say, God gives his strength to his children. So what should we do? What's the application for you and I? Well, if you're not a Christian, listen, God gives his strength, his power to his children. And that is an incredible reason to surrender to Jesus. Maybe not the biggest reason, definitely not the only one, but it is a big reason to surrender to Jesus, to repent and be baptized. In that moment, you receive forgiveness. You receive the Holy Spirit of God. And you also, from that moment forward, have a Father who displays his favor, his power on behalf of his children. And if you say, that's me, I want him to be my father, tell one of us, one of the men who's been up here today, you can repent and be baptized. And for those who are Christians, what should we do? Well, I think we should learn. There's two levels, by the way, to this application. So you can do level one, or you can do level one and level two. Depends how ambitious you feel this morning. Level one is this. We should learn to recognize those moments when we need that God's strength, when we should let our anxiety or worry or stress or being overwhelmed or depressed or angry, whatever the negative emotion that shows up in you when you're like, I'm at the end of my rope. This isn't working. We should learn to recognize those moments, especially those moments in which we can say, wait, this is something, the thing I'm trying to do, this is something that you want me to do. This is something that you desire for me. This is in line with your will. You want me to provide for my family. You want me to act like Jesus in this difficult moment. You want me to show love to this difficult person. You want me to explain the gospel to my friend in this conversation. And I can't. You want me to act like Jesus right now. You want me to do that. So in that moment, we should say, God, I depend on you. Please give me your strength. Give me your power. Give me the focus and the mind and the discipline and the self-control and the peace, and so that I can do this for your glory, that you would be glorified in me as I do this job or act this way or relax with this person or whatever I'm doing, that I would be able to do this for your glory. Give me your strength, and then do the thing, whatever it is. Enter into it with the confidence, waiting on God. It's not waiting as in I'm not going to do it. It's waiting as in I'm depending. I'm waiting on you. I'm going to enter in and do it, and I'm depending on you. I know that you will give me the power and the strength I need to do this thing right now. That's level one. Level two of the application is, you could also, when you're not in those stressful moments, like now, you could memorize a fighter verse, a verse that you could take with you and have at your hand in those moments. So you could say in that moment, God, maybe Psalm 121. I think that's one that I cut this morning, but Psalm 121, 1 and 2. You can memorize that. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you say that in the moment when you need help and when things that you not because you're invoking God by saying it, but rather you're reminding yourself, my help comes from the Lord. Another fighter verse is Zechariah 4:6, what we read, not by might, not by power, it's not what I can do, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Or Isaiah 64:4, eye is not seen, ear is not heard of a God like outside of you who works on behalf those who wait for him. I want to be in this moment someone who depends on you, because you work on my behalf when I do that. And then, of course, choose one of them. But this would be a great one. Isaiah 40:31, the last verse we read. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Memorize one of those verses. And then in the moment when you say, I'm at the end, I can't do this, remind yourself, God gives power to his power, his strength to his children. Now we get to remember, we get to celebrate the greatest moment in which God demonstrated his power on behalf of his children, on behalf of us. He powerfully orchestrated all of history to come together at a moment where his son would be hung on a tree. And in that moment, Jesus did not take advantage of the power, the great power that he had, that his father had. He chose to die. He chose to let himself be killed in our place. He suffered the punishment of our rebellion against the Father, not showing his power, you could say, took so much power, so much strength. He did that so that you and I could receive forgiveness and we could be adopted into God's family. So in this moment, those of us who have entered into Christ, who are his children, we take bread and we take juice. They represent his body. They represent his blood. Together we remember this act, what he did for us so that we could be God's children. And together we thank him and we worship him. God, you are our powerful king. And we sing that and we say that on Sundays. Then we confess that many times we are guilty of going out and living our lives as if we were the ones who had to do it all, as if everything depended on ourselves, not depending on your power, depending on our strength, and not depending on your strength. So we repent of that. We ask that you would remind us in moments when we are depending on ourselves to depend on you. And God, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the power that you displayed, that you outpoured as you allowed your son to be brutally murdered in our place, and he took upon himself the weight of all of our sin. He paid the price for our rebellion, and you have powerfully rescued us, and we remember that, and we celebrate that, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.